you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all-new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. It's better breakfast o'clock at Wendy's. Get a hot and buttery Wendy's breakfast biscuit with bacon or sausage, fresh cracked egg, and cheese for just $1. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. That is Kendra Andrews. I am Grant Lifman, and we're actually recording this live from Warriors Shop at Thrive City outside of Chase Center after the Warriors improved to, what did they improve to?
25 and 6?
25 and 6. Pretty impressive. 31 games into the season at 25 and 6. Really, it's a record that compares very much so to the dynastic years when in the Steve Kerr era, especially even with Kevin Durant on the team. Very shortly, we're going to toss it to, I mean, one guy that I've always loved watching play on the court, but also just the way he conducts himself afterwards and his podcast, too. And it's been so fun watching him on Kings broadcast this year. Matt Barnes, forever Warrior, yes. Matt Barnes joins. So I'm very excited to show that, Kendra.
I'm excited to listen to it.
Okay, thank you. So before we get to him, I want to give we've been talked so much about the depth in the bench this season. Well, with Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole and health and safety protocol, that's 37-ish points per game.
Yeah.
And to go with Jordan Poole's playmaking and to go with Andrew Wiggins' defense that they're removing from their lineup, right? So this is when the depth of the team gets really put to the test. And if anything, of course, this Kings team they faced the last game, sure, they were depleted. They've had their issues. They're coming off back-to-back. But the depth already stepped up again, and that is just becoming an expectation and almost a reality at this point that they're always going to step up.
It's really good to see. And Grant, even when you think about the Toronto game where Steph Curry wasn't playing, Draymond Green wasn't playing, Andrew Wiggins wasn't playing, Jordan Poole wasn't playing, and Otto Porter Jr. wasn't playing, yes, the Warriors lost pretty badly to the Raptors. But you look at what the individual performances were in that game, because a lot of those guys aren't used to playing in the combinations that they were forced into in Toronto. But there were still positive takeaways of what you could see from that group as individuals, kind of, and then some of those combos that they're used to playing with. Then you bring it up to the Sacramento game, where you have Steph and Draymond and Otto back, and Andre Iguodala back, and you see how it all just fits in so seamlessly with each other. You think back to the moves that they made during the offseason, of course, bringing back Andre, bringing in Otto, bringing in Nemanja Bjelica, bringing in Gary Payton II to that 15th roster spot. It's just kind of check, 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 check. It all complements each other so well. When you think of the stage of the season that we're in, we're recording this on December 20th, I just didn't think that it was going to click as well as it is right now.
I mean, it clicked from the get-go.
From the get-go, exactly.
In the preseason, they went undefeated, yeah. and usually I don't care about that, whatever, but the way they are moving, the chemistry.
It wasn't fake.
It wasn't fake, and that's the crazy part, is that when Otto Porter Jr. and Nemanja Bjelica had a chance to sign at the Warriors, they both said they jumped at it because they said the style of play and the way they share the ball and the way they do it looks so fun, and it looked right up their alley.
Yep.
They're not lying, because they fit right in and they just immediately jumped in. And it's hard to just play with Steph immediately, but it's almost as if they're like born to do this, and this is where they wanted to be.
Belly even said that he was a little concerned about playing the five because he had never really done that before. He was always more of the stereotypical four, but the way that he's taken to this small ball five, it looks like he's been playing it his entire career. the fact that, like, you can kind of go down different pairings in the bench, and it's really actually great to see that Steve Kerr has found a more solidified rotation, solidified combinations.
except for all these injuries,
even so, it's like, okay, if we're staying on Belly for a second, you look at the way that him and GP2 complement each other. Belly plays on the perimeter, GP2 plays in the dunker spot. Not a lot of other teams are you going to find a 6'3" guy who plays well in the dunker spot, while on the same team you have a 6'7", 9, 10 guy who plays on the perimeter. It's those types of things that just complement each other so well, and it's really, really fun and great to see.
Yeah, it's a fun style of basketball, but even against the Kings, the numbers at, like, Otto Porter, for instance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been scoring. Yes, he can shoot. It's been so impressive. But defensively, we've talked about how impressive he's been defensively. And he had 4 blocks. That was a career high. Then you look at Andre Iguodala. He looks completely
2009
fresh.
2009 or something.
He looks
like
so
that.
Good out there because mm-hmm. these guys just fit within the system. Now, Iguodala is just part of the system. He is the system too. You know, as
the
much
machine.
As we talk about, yeah, the machine. We talk about Steph Curry. We talk about Draymond Green. Andre Iguodala.
Oh yeah,
you
just
know,
as once much
the,
of it.
Once the system was being created by Steve Kerr, Andre Iguodala was a huge vital part of that. Mm-hmm. Otto Porter fits in because he's willing to pass, willing to spread out the floor. GP2 is a new addition to this group that we've mm-hmm. never really seen before because he's somebody that can just get up and just dunk the ball at any point. He's always playing defensive specialist. He's mm-hmm. reaching. He's doing steals, reaching in the best way possible.
Right.
Yeah, not in a bad range.
No.
But just his ability to be that energizer bunny off the bench and do things that they haven't really had before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a hidden gem that they've discovered themselves, but they kind of almost lucked into it because they gave him a chance and Gary was like, you're about to see what I can do.
Absolutely. But there's just aspect. I asked him after the game against the Kings, like, have you played in that forward position before? Because that's kind of what he is, like a guard forward. And he goes, yeah, I've played 1-5. And I think just him, he said that he wishes that he was 6'7", right? And he could just kind of do those more stereotypical forward things because that's the way he plays. Steve Kerr, since he came to the Warriors organization and he started playing Draymond more at the five and stuff, you hear all the time, basketball is becoming a positionless sport. You aren't tied to what your size and height kind of recommend you to be. And I think that Steve kind of figured that out before it was a really big thing in the league. So when you have a guy like GP2, Steve Kerr's like, yes, absolutely, we're going to give him a chance and put him in positions to succeed. If he says, like, he's clearly not like a perimeter player, he's not a great three-point shooter, so we're not going to put him out there to do that. We're going to put him out there where he's at least best equipped to have a chance to be successful, and that's exactly what you're seeing from him right now.
You know, it's funny because Draymond Green has made Steve Kerr able to do that, right? The positionless basketball a little bit. Don Nelson was a guy who kind of ran with it originally, the positionless basketball, and that's what the We Believe team was, is their ability to run small and put Steven Jackson at a four and put these guys, Al Harrington played a small ball five, and these guys played together on a string and defensively swarm people, but they didn't have the talent that the dynastic Warriors did, and what Draymond Green is able to do takes it to a whole nother level, right? So yeah, GP2 is just another part of that. If you can play defense, if you have the length, if mm-hmm. you have the athleticism, you have
the ability,
IQ to do that, you're going to play.
Absolutely.
Another guy to give a shout out to is Damian Lee. Damian Lee went through a slump for a little bit there, right? He's shooting 21% from three over 18 games. He comes into the starting lineup against the Kings, goes 4-for-4 from deep, drops 18 points in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who knows so well how to play with Steph, how to play with Draymond, how to play these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the system.
Yep.
These guys fit a system, and they make it fun because they all are enjoying it.
Yeah.
You can see the fun they're having.
Absolutely. They just all love to be a part of, like, what is currently transpiring out on the court, and you just kind of start to think, you know, we think about the future so much, because how can you not? It's so fun. Again, you know, we mentioned that Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins are out in health and safety protocols, so then you kind of start thinking about in the future, and I'm thinking, like, beyond just this season, too. When Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody aren't splitting their time between the Warriors and the G League, when Klay Thompson and James Wiseman come back from their injuries, like, that is, it's honestly mind-boggling like how you're going to manage, and by you, I mean opponents are going to manage so many threats. And it's going to be interesting to see how the coaching staff manages their players too. It's a great issue to have. It's a great problem to have. And as we're seeing currently the league just be hit super hard with COVID cases, and so many players are in health and safety protocols, and so many benches are being slashed, it's pretty incredible to look at the bench on this Warriors team and say, you know, God forbid something happens and players have to miss X amount of games, as we're seeing right now with JP and Andrew Wiggins, you can feel comfortable with who the Warriors have to step up in their absence.
Yeah. Just not Steph, not Draymond.
Besides them, then you're kind of
I don't know about that. No,
anyone but them.
Everyone just stay healthy. And also just stay Planet Orange, a leader in eco-friendly, effective pest control. Let us be your partner for all your pest control needs, servicing residential, industrial, and commercial customers without harming the environment. Planet Orange, family-friendly, pet-friendly, which is my favorite, and professional.
See, it's healthy as well.
Do you know who's a pro?
Tell me.
Matt Barnes.
He is
a pro's pro.
Pro's pro.
I've respected his game and watching, and I know Dub Nation has loved him and also hated him for when he's on rival teams. He's just,
but that's the,
he's
that's
done it all.
The mark of a great player,
yeah.
Right? Is when you're hated so much by rivalries,
and yet you also are beloved
right.
by your own.
It's
team.
Because it's, they don't like going against you, because right. when you were on their team, you were the guy everyone else is paying in the butt, right?
Right.
But now you're
yeah.
there, you know what I mean?
He did
Roll
a little bit of it all, but at least he ended his career with the Warriors. Anyway, Matt Barnes got a chance to sit down with me and had a little chat. So without further ado, should we go to
it.
That?
I want to hear it.
All right, everybody, here's Matt Barnes.
Matt, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with this. And it's just, you've been on two of the most adored Warriors teams and eras, right, in Golden State history. Simultaneously, you've been on some of the biggest rivalries as the opponent the Warriors have seen, mm-hmm. Clippers and Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
What is your relationship with Dub Nation and the Warriors? How do you feel about them?
I mean, Warriors will always have my heart. You know, growing up, someone who was born in San Jose and then moved to Sacramento, you know, the Warriors were always on my radar. I was a huge Laker fan growing up. But really, the Warriors were the first team to give me a real chance in the NBA. You know, with that We Believe team, I felt like we built something special. And then it came full circle. You know, I was able to join the team 10 years later on that 17 team that made a run for a championship. So, you know, the Warriors are always near and dear to my heart. You know, Bay Area is my second home. So I got a lot of love for the Warriors.
Did you feel like during that time with the, I guess, the Clippers, and was that probably the most intense part of your career in terms of the rivalry with the Warriors?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, that Lob City team had a lot of high expectations, never able to reach those goals, but at the same time, we knew a young Warriors team on our hand. It was coached very well by Coach Jackson. It had a lot. It was only a matter of time before, you know, they really reached their potential, and they far exceeded, I think, anyone's expectations with the you know, the run they went on.
So let's shift focus here now, and I do want to ask you about the current Warriors team. And looking at what they've done so far, they've really got off to an incredible start so far this season. Just from your experience watching them and what you've picked up, what areas do you think they really need to improve upon to stay with the upper echelon of your Phoenix and Utah in the West?
I mean, I think the Warriors are in that category. You know, obviously that record says that, but, you know, sometimes records can be deceiving. But I think, you know, with Clay on the way back, with Wiseman on the way back, hopefully Clay, with having 2 years off, you know, won't be hindered by, you know, small nagging injuries when you take a long time off that normally hits you. But I think outside of that, you know, their core is solid, and they've done something that most teams don't do, which used to be a standard in the NBA, was keep your core. You know, now with stars bouncing around so much, stars are always moving, so the cores are always changing on these teams. But one thing that I love about the Warriors, I was actually just on Draymond's podcast two days ago talking about this, was they've been able to keep their core. Draymond, Steph brought Iggy back. You know, Clay's been in the mix, but been out. But when you're able to keep the core guys that, you know, kind of get you where you're going, and I think what's really helped them is they've been able to add depth. You know, with those two down years they had, they found some real true young talent, you know, that is definitely going to help this team, or can be valuable trade assets. So I think the Warriors are sitting really nice right now. You know, as long as they can stay healthy and, like I said, reacclimate the guys that are out right now in Wiseman and Thompson, And, you know, to me, it's, you know, they have just as good a chance to win a championship than anyone in the league this year.
So do you like the roster as it stands if Clay comes back, Wiseman come back healthy, or do you think they need to make a move this season?
I like the roster, but it wouldn't surprise me if they made a move because, like I said, that, you know, they've been able to find a lot of young talent that can be valuable trade assets for this team. But I think as they're currently constructed, you know, I like them. They have a lot of depth. The one thing about that Warrior team that was always, you know, vital outside of their stars was the depth of their bench. And I think, you know, that I think the bench was overlooked because there was so much star power with the guys who were actually playing. But, the bench was the key in a lot of those moments. So, you know, to be able to bring Iggy back to lead, although he's a little older, you know, to help lead this younger bench that has a lot of energy. And I like the way these young kids fly around. To be successful on a team, you have to have a high basketball IQ. And I think, obviously, coaches teach that. But then when you have guys like Steph and Draymond, who's one of the brightest basketball minds in the game, able to teach these younger guys just how they do things there, they're set. So, you know, to answer your question, I think they're fine the way they're constructed, especially if Wiseman and Clay are able to come back and produce. Again, at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled a rabbit out of their hat at the trade deadline because, again, they do have some valuable trade assets.
Is there like a position, just if you were saying, is there a position or is there a player that you've seen rumors tossed around where you're like, oh, that actually could be a good fit?
I mean, you see the you know, the Ben Simmons stuff and that kind of stuff. But I really like the way this team is. You know, I think someone who's going to be very important, which I really liked since he's come to the Warriors, because I didn't necessarily think he would be a good fit, is Andrew Wiggins. You know, he's always been the guy that everyone says, you know, he's this, but, or if. And I really think he's kind of came and found himself in confidence with this team because he's obviously, you know, a former number one pick, but he's a guy that can get you 18 to 22 points every single night. And I think he showed last year that he's a capable wing defender, you know, a really good wing defender, which they're going to need because, again, Clay was that main guy that took the brunt of the best guards in the West and in the finals. In the playoffs for this team. And with Clay coming back, you know, with two severe injuries, he may not be as fast or it may take him some time to kind of get that kind of defensive momentum back. But I think with, you know, the way Wiggins has stepped up and I think that team has given him confidence in himself, he's a very, very talented player and I like what he's doing. Also really like Jordan Poole and the way he's been able to develop. I don't, you know, I think he was, you know, a real surprise for the organization and the fan base. This kid is very, very, very talented. He's going to be hard when this contract comes up, you know, because he's someone that's going to get a lot of big offers from other teams. So hopefully the Warriors can keep him in there. But again, they just have depth and they have guys that know how to play in that system. So if they can add some depth, some interior depth, because, you know, they got plenty of scoring out there on the wings, you know, led by Steph and those guys. But if they can get some kind of, you know, front court just security, I think that's always, you know, something that's needed in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's funny. You mentioned Wiggins, for instance, and before you said how, you know, Ben Simmons' name is out there. What ends up happening is salary-wise, to make any move for, like, a big-name guy, it probably is Andrew Wiggins would have to be going, yes, on the way out with young talent as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
right,
you start having to find the balance of how much is this helping us if we lose that, right? And I think what Warriors fans and the Warriors right, are seeing right now is Andrew Wiggins contributes a lot to the team. So it better be a real upgrade somehow.
It has to be, yeah, you know. Right. And I guess, like I said, I like, because I never knew it because I'd never seen it. I like that he's really playing on both sides of the ball. You know, that's something we haven't seen in the past, but he's, you know, he's long, he's agile, he's got quick feet. So, I mean, he's a prototypical defender, but it's just something we haven't seen. But his ability to give you 18 to 20 every night and then also guard, you know, the best team's wing defenders is very valuable for that team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm going to put you on the spot right here. So let's say a Warriors team is very healthy. You get a Klay Thompson back. He's healthy. He ramps up the rest of the way. How far does this Warriors team go?
Championship. You know, I think, like I said, I think their key is acclimating Klay back and seeing where he's at, you know, with a long 2-year layoff. You know, I think Wiseman will come back and fit in, you know, and just kind of figure out what his role will be. I think will be important because, like I said, he's someone that rim runs, block shots, you know, has a 15-footer, someone that can help control that paint. But if they keep, you know, what they have right now and are able to stay healthy, I think this team is very capable of winning a championship. You know, although, you know, last year a lot of people thought Phoenix, you know, injuries play a huge role every year. You know, the Warriors have lost championships and won championships due to star players being hurt. And a lot of people said, you know, Phoenix was lucky to make it as far as they did, but I think they've come back with vengeance to prove that they are one of the top teams in the league, led by my former teammate, Chris Paul. Anytime you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know, you always have a chance. So I think we'll see the best best Lakers post All-Star break. So to me, those are the cream of the crop in the West. You know, you can throw a Utah in there or a Denver if they happen to, you know, get healthy. But I think, you know, if the Warriors get healthy, in my opinion, they're the best team in basketball.
So, I mean, in that case, we're looking at a healthy Nets team, for instance, on the other end, right? If let's mm-hmm. say Kyrie plays and KD and Harden can stay healthy, how excited would you be for a healthy Warriors versus a healthy Nets finals?
That'd be incredible. You know, obviously what the Warriors were able to build a few years back with KD, with that trio they had, and adding Draymond was unbelievable. What that trio they have over there in Brooklyn has been unbelievable, but at the same time have been hindered with off the court issues and decisions, and, you know, which everyone respects. But my question with them is, you know, can they really bring it together? You know, and that's something too with those three talented players and Durant, Harden, and Irving. They need time on the floor together, because when they did have time on the floor, I think they only had it with maybe 6 to 8 times last year. You see flashes of greatness, but then you'd also see like okay, what do I do now when I don't have the ball, because I'm used to having the ball all the time situation. So I think chemistry is a huge part of that team. And that's on the flip side, that's what I love about the Warriors. Their chemistry is seamless, you know what I mean? Because again, they've been able to keep their core together. So Klay's not going to learn how to figure out how to get back in this offense. He's been a focal point in this offense. So his problem is, you know, can he stay healthy to be reinserted? And again, Wiseman is not a guy that you need to throw the ball down to and really run plays for. He's going to get his offense, you know, just through the flow of the game. So I think that's the one thing that gives to me the Warriors the edge over every other team, is their chemistry and their core.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that it sounds like what you're saying is the Warriors can be the best team if healthy because of that years of experience together. And if they go against the Nets team, they don't have that yet.
Agreed. That to me, that is the key. You know, the Nets for a long Kevin Durant toenail away from going to the finals last year, you know, very shorthanded. So they're definitely a very capable team. But again, I think people see teams on paper or see big names, but not understanding the importance of what chemistry does and how does your team, you know, handle good times and bad times. And that's when chemistry really comes into focus and comes into play. And I think people tend to overlook that today. But then you look at the teams that end up winning, it's teams with chemistry. You know, Milwaukee had great team chemistry. You know, Brooklyn was injured. You know, the Lakers got bumped in the, you know, the first round last year because obviously they are injured, but they're always trying to acclimate new pieces from new situations, and guys are playing new roles. That hasn't been the situation with the Warriors. Again, everyone knows their role on the team, you know, and I think that goes a long way.
So this could be considered the third variation of the trio of Steph, Klay, Draymond. How long can this window last, do you think?
I think this is a good 2 to 3 year window with this team. And it's, again, a credit to them being able to stay together. And then them just being together since they were young. You know, rarely do you get, you know, guys that were drafted, their core was drafted to that team. You know what I mean? Like, and Steph, Dre, and Klay, they make one run and then they make another run with KD. Everyone thinks the world is over once KD leaves and they're hit with the injury bug. And I think, you know, that's why I think this next run coming up is going to be the sweetest, because they've been to the top of the top. And at the same time, this same team has been the doormat where, you know, people couldn't wait to kill them no matter who was on the court, just because they made winning look so fun. And a lot of teams, it rubbed a lot of teams the wrong way. You know what I mean? So when you get a chance to, you know, to slay the dragon, whether they're healthy or not, you're going to step on them. And they went through two hard, hard seasons. But again, just be able to stay together, get healthy again, and to me, make this third and final run. I think it's a 2 to 3 year window for this team. But, you know, with Steph, you know, you could be wrong.
Yeah, speaking of Steph, he obviously broke the all-time three-point record. Let's say for a second, let's be hypothetical here, and it's very possible that Steph could pull off another MVP in the next year or two. It's possible, as you said, if the Warriors get healthy, that they can win another title, maybe more, but let's just say one mm-hmm. more. If these things happen, like, when all is said and done, where is Steph Curry in the echelon of, you know?
Way up there. And it's hard because you know, you obviously want to respect the guys that came before him and all their accomplishments, but I don't think we appreciate Steph in the moment, you know, appreciate how good Steph is. I feel like Steph is going to put this record so far out of reach, it's going to be ridiculous. I feel like someone will have a better chance of scoring 100 points, you know, to beat Wilt's record than to really pass where Steph is going to put, you know, this three-point record. So, you know, to kind of put it into context, it's hard. What is he, 11 years in, 12 years in? Mm-hmm. How far in is he? Yeah. You know, so, I mean, to me, he's a top two-point guard, top three, if someone wants to argue, of all time at this point. You know, everyone's saying Magic is the greatest point guard of all time. He changed the game. But then Steph Curry, to me, came and changed this new game. And I've seen the trickle-down effect from, obviously, you see the numbers of three-point shots are for every team are, you know, a record pace. But I, you know, once I retired in 17, I've been coaching my kids. So my kids are now 13. When I started, they were 9. But the way they shoot it from, you know, fourth and fifth grade, like, these kids see Steph and Clay and the way the Warriors play, and it's transcended not just the NBA, but just basketball as a whole. So, you know, that's got to hold weight as well, because this guy has literally changed the game. And, you know, he's given a lot of smaller, not the strongest, not the fastest, not the most athletic guys hope that, you know, they can play. I saw Fred VanVleet said it the other day, you know, Steph is the reason that, you know, he gave me confidence to believe I can play in this league, you know. So he's given a lot of smaller guards that kind of confidence. So, you know, when I think when it's all said and done, Steph definitely has an opportunity to be a top five player in the history of the game.
Yeah, it's funny. It's that, you know, people always kind of go to their era and say, no, yes, that was the best. And it's reasonable to say, because that's what they know best, right? And mm-hmm. maybe, you know, 15 years, 20 years from now, you'll say, no, let me tell you, Steph, LeBron, right? But right. At the same time, though, there has to be a point where it's like, Magic, for some, you know, will always be the point guard, mm-hmm, no matter what. Mm-hmm, but right. You start have to wonder, like, what does Steph need to do to pass someone like him? What does? Yeah. And it's just, but obviously, I think, it's everyone's yeah. opinions. But
yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I think you continue to break records, which he's going to do, and then obviously, championships talk. You know, getting a chance to be a former teammate of Kobe, rest in peace. He was hell bent on getting that sixth championship to him. He's like, you know, I want to sit at the same table as MJ, you know. So obviously a lot of weight is given to guys that are able to win rings, you know. So with Steph having three right now, and let's say best case scenario, he gets two more, so he finishes his career with five championships, you know, an average of about 28 points a game, 27 points a game, the all-time leading three-point shooter, and I'm sure he'll snag a couple other records along the way. I mean, it's hard to really put other point guards in front of him. And Magic Johnson was my favorite player growing up, you know what I mean? But to be able to see the way, again, how Magic changed the game as a 6'9 point guard, how Steph has been able to change the game with his ability to shoot the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of it, we always talk about the grand context of all time, but I think a lot of times it's just your era, right? Like, what right. did you do in your era? Because we don't know how a player mm-hmm. would play in a different era.
Agreed.
Or so,
agreed.
And advancements with just physical, like, players right now, body-wise and physical and the way they trained and medicine today, it's like, it's just a different era, right? So, but
yeah, yeah.
But man, it's been fun to watch Steph. So right. You gave your opinions on Wiseman and Poole. Just have you gotten a chance to really watch Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody? And I would love to know what you think of them.
Kuminga, I've been able to see. I haven't got a chance to see Moody as much. But again, long, athletic, and plays hard. You know what I mean? And I think I was like, Draymond and I were talking about this, and he's been someone that's just been in this franchise, but I don't think people realize how lucky you are to be in the franchise, because a lot of other franchises, I can maybe name a couple that are ran like the Warriors franchise. And to me, winning starts at the top. So when you're a young player, you know, able to come into a situation where you have these seasoned vets and some, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, and learn how to play basketball the right way. And I think that's important, because a lot of some of these kids get thrown in the fire and they do well. But, you know, some of these kids, you know, when you're able to come in, you know, like, you know, when you see great quarterbacks, when they're able to come in and learn behind one of the best to ever do it, and Aaron Rodgers learning behind a Brett Favre, you see them kind of build their status. So with these young kids being able to come and learn from Steph and learn from Clay and learn from Coach Kerr and his staff, learn from Clay, I mean, that is so important. So I like, you know, they've done a really good job in the draft and then being able to implement these guys. And again, learning, teaching these guys how to play winning basketball. And that was the one thing that impressed me when I went to this team, because I think, you know, it was no secret that I felt like that Lob City team had enough talent to win a championship, but we got in each other's way. But when I went to that 17 team with all the stars they had, including the coach, there was zero ego. You know what I mean? And it's about what's best for the team and how can we get over this hump and how can we win a championship. And when you come into a franchise like this to learn how to play basketball the right way, that's when I think these younger players really start to reach their potential. So again, the bench has been a weakness those two down years, but they've been able to build, you know, in the draft. And then, finding a Gary Payton Jr., you know, where he's kind of bounced around a little bit, and he's been a huge, huge, huge defensive spark plug and energy for that team. So I really like, you know, the young guys they have. I haven't got a chance to see the two guys you talked about as much as I would like to give a real hardcore opinion on them. But I know that anytime you're going to be a young player going into a system with those kind of vets around them and that kind of coaching staff, you're going to see great things for these young guys.
Awesome. All right. I have two fun questions for you, and then I'll let you and Ash take on the day. I appreciate it. He's, you know, I'll have to get his opinion on some stuff too. He's
right. Soon.
Kid's made for the camera. He's just, he gravitates to it. Okay. You were a big time wide receiver in high school and had a chance to potentially maybe, you know, have a nice career in the NFL. Just looking at the Warriors team right now, or the guys you played with before, who would be – it doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver, but who would have the best pro football career?
From the Warriors or just guys I've played with?
Let's do from the Warriors.
From the Warriors. That's tough because football is a whole new monster. and being big doesn't necessarily mean good. Who would be a good – that's a tough question. I would say Clay. Clay surprised me. I know Clay played baseball, a little bit of baseball too, and I'm sure he's a, you know, he's got some football in him. He's an athlete. So I would say Clay. I'm not sure what position, maybe like a safety to be able to hit, or maybe he can be a quarterback, but I'd say Clay.
It's funny you say that, and he's going to be excited because I asked him this question. It was a couple years ago, and his answer was Clay. he said you can put me at strong safety, you could put me at free safety, and then he goes, you can put me at quarterback.
I said the same thing. It's funny because I would have said Draymond, but when he and I were talking about the same thing and he played, I said, he's like, I just wasn't very good at football, you know, and I loved basketball, and although, you know, he got a chance to play in that spring Michigan State game, he's just like, football wasn't my thing. So some people would think Draymond, but then hearing him out of his own mouth saying he wasn't very good, I can't go with him.
So the one person I always think about just all the time that I've always said, like, if he had a chance to maybe do football, and I don't know if he did, like, I just think about Monte Ellis as as a wide receiver.
Monte was quick. Yeah. But the whole thing is like, that's the one thing about football is, I mean, you can look and run and be this, but can you take a hit?
Right.
You know, and a lot of these guys don't know what it's like to go across the middle and get cleaned out or go up and have your knees taken out. You know what I mean? So being able to, you know, I had all that in high school, and it's just like, it changes the way you do things unless you love it. Because I was a football, people don't, like, I was literally a football player first. Like, I didn't take up basketball seriously till, you know, almost the end of junior high. So I loved the contact of football. And I kind of just told people, you know, when I talk about my career now, like, you know, I was a ball player playing basketball. You know, I love the physicality. I would get out and run the wing like I was a wide receiver, fill the lane and, you know, catch lobs or dunk it or score a layup. But I just kind of felt like I was a wide receiver out there with those lanes. And then again, the my favorite part about football is the physicality. And then obviously that's what I tried, you know, to bring to the NBA as far as being, you know, a hard-nosed physical defensive player. So, you know, I just kind of felt like I looked around, but I was a football player that got a chance to play in the NBA.
Yeah, it is a testament to how tough the NFL and football is compared when you say that Draymond Green even was like, I wasn't made out for that. Right. Because people would point him and be like, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
he's tough. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's a different beast.
It's a mentality. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, how about this one? Just one more. Let's do a little hypothetical here. You got the five-man squad you played with, the Steph, Clay, Andre, KD, Draymond lineup, right? The Hamptons Five. You got that. Out of all the other teams you've played with, including We Believe and everyone, construct me a team of the players you played with that could compete against that squad.
there's three teams that come to mind with that. The first one would be the We Believe team with Baron Davis, Jason Richardson, Monte, myself, and Al Harrington. I think that small ball Nelly team could run with this that team. The Laker team, and this would be a real contrast of styles, but Kobe, me, Ron Artest, Andrew Bynum, and Paul Gasol. And then the Lob City team, which, you know, was kind of our little rival for a little while with Chris Paul, JJ, and Jamal Crawford can all be, you know, exchangeable. And then Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Okay, but so again, now take those teams and pick players from all those and make a five out of everybody.
Okay. Hey, because that's how good I would have to make. That's what kind of team I feel like I'd have to make to beat them in a seven-game series. I'd take Chris Paul at the point. I would take Kobe at the two. I would take – actually, no. I'm going to put Chris at the point, Baron Davis at the two, Kobe at the three, Blake Griffin at the four, and Pau Gasol at the five. I'd come off the bench on that team.
That's a good team. Yeah. A good team. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that team beat the Hamptons five?
It's hard because, you know, on paper you would say it's a good duo, but again, to me, what's always made the Warriors different is their chemistry. That's what's always, and to me, from the time we started playing them when they were younger to their runs to them rebuilding now, is what always gives me hope in them, obviously, is, you know, Steph and Draymond and Clay, but their chemistry is second to none. And if unless you've really played in this league, you don't know how important it is, because there's going to be a lot of adversity. You know, the season is never just a fun roller coaster. There's ups, downs, backs, forwards, and teams with chemistry that are very close can, you know, get through a lot of the tough times that teams that aren't will start to splinter off. So again, that's why, obviously, outside the talent, the coaching staff they have, I love this team for their chemistry.
That's awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining in. It's been awesome watching you with your pod and with your appearances now with the Kings pregame and postgame, and really appreciate you joining.
No doubt, man. Have a good one. Best of luck.
All right. You too. Okay.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.